Okay, well, so happens that y'all talked about the storms and stuff. We're going to talk about a storm that we all have heard and known about. And that was when all the disciples were following Jesus around, and all the crowds of people were following around. They just wanted to hear every word he had to say. Jesus was casting out spirits. He was healing people. And so they finally get on the boat, and Jesus wants to take a nap. He wants to rest and visit with the Father. And he just wants to completely chill. And then the storm comes, and the disciples start to get worried. And they're going, oh my gosh, he's going to sit here and sleep, and we're going to just perish in the waves and stuff. So there's some things that we can do that happens in our lives. We get storms in our lives. And so the first thing that we want to do is to remember that we have to follow Jesus. Just like the disciples were, they were captivated with Jesus enough to leave their homes. They left families, everything. They just were attracted to him so much. They followed him into the boat, and every day we have a choice to follow him and to be with him and to bear the fruit of his spirit. When they follow him, they want to be just like him. And that's what we need to do every day, is want to be just like him and sit in that boat with him. We should want to emulate Jesus and what that he does. So that's one of the things that we could do. And we're talking here about what happens when Jesus falls asleep in a storm. A lot of times we feel like when we're in a storm and things are going on that Jesus is asleep and that we need to wake him up and go, hey, what are you doing? The second thing is challenges are going to be inevitable in your life. You're going to have storms in your life. Whoever, I have never heard anyone say, okay, you know, become a Christian, your life's going to be easy street. I've never heard that. If anyone said that, they were lying to you. I'm sorry. But you are going to have storms in your life. That's how we learn. That's how we learn how to mature with our walk with Jesus. If we didn't have any storms or see any problems, then we wouldn't even need Jesus. Okay, but that's how he teaches us through every storm we have. And I'm sorry I don't have my glasses, so. The storm on the lake was sudden, and even with Jesus right there, they thought the storm would take their lives. Okay, even though you're in a storm right now, and Jesus is right by you, we think, okay, this is going to be it. This is the one, Elizabeth. Something bad's going to happen. We learn that hardships and unexpected battles in life are inevitable. Even as believers and followers of Jesus, we're going to encounter troubles. We're going to make mistakes. Sometimes we think God is punishing us. But that's not right, because we live in a fallen and broken world. Until Jesus returns, we will have challenges. But we need to put our hope in Jesus. Okay, there's so many times, I know Kim and I have talked about this, that you think, oh, God's just punishing me because he's upset with me. I'm not the best Christian I should be. Oh, I'm sick because of this. Oh, I'm sick because of that. Oh, this is happening because of this. That's not true. God doesn't punish us like that, okay? Things just happen because of the world that we live in and the choices we make. I'm not saying that your choices don't affect you or other people. But God is with you, even though through the painful situations in life. This story teaches that God is with us. God is always with you. And that's hard for us to understand, that God is always with us no matter what. Even through the bad times, even through the terrible times, even when I was watching them working on David for 45 minutes, God was right there in that room. He was right there. Even though I couldn't feel him, he was right there. We feel alone when things are tough. Okay, scripture says that God is always with us. Yeah. When things get tough, we just want to give up. And we just think, oh, this is so bad. What's going to happen? We're fretful. We worry. God is always with you. Okay, no matter what, God's always with you. The next thing is we call out to Jesus. We do not know how long a storm will be, but God hears every prayer. Call out in your praise and surrender, And when we struggle, this teaches us to call out for Jesus in our need. Sometimes we get in predicaments and we think, well, you know, I should know better. I don't need to call on Jesus. Let me reassure you, in every predicament that I know, the pastor may know others, in every predicament, you're going to need Jesus. Yeah. Amen. In everything. Everything. Even things I've heard people go, well, you know, God gave me a good brain and common sense and I need to do this and I need to do that. You need to be in such an intimacy with the Lord that you are one-on-one with each other, okay? That we're not going to predict what Jesus tells us, that he's always going to be there. We can rest assured he's going to be there. And then if we feel our struggles are too much, we call out to Jesus. We call out to him. Jesus, please help me. Where are you? That's okay. It's okay to do that. You're going to have struggles. You're going to call out to Jesus. The next thing you're going to want to do is it taught us how Jesus came in the boat and he rested. God wants us to rest. There's so many times we as Christians, I've been noted for it too, we do things thinking this is what God wants me to do without asking God. We're busy doing things for Jesus when Jesus didn't even ask us to do it in the first place. Does that make sense? We think we know, and we should know what Jesus thinks. But we need to go to Jesus every time and go, is this what you really want? Is this what I'm supposed to do? We've got to depend on Jesus. And if you call out to Jesus, he's there. He's right here in here. The Holy Spirit is here. God is here. And you're here because God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit wants to touch you. Jesus could not wait to get in the boat. Could you imagine fighting all the crowds at Walmart if y'all went the day I did, the day right before the storm hit, and walking through about three or four of those Walmarts? You know, this is how the crowds were just crowding Jesus. Just let me hear a little something of Jesus. And that is awesome. And just know that he was tired. He was casting out spirits. He was healing people. People were pawing over him. He just wanted to get in the boat and get with his Father. He just wanted to rest. So many times we don't rest. Now, yeah, you call me and I might be watching TV and sitting on my bed, but I'm not talking about that rest. I'm talking about spiritual rest. We have emotional rest. We have spiritual rest. We have physical rest. Jesus needed an emotional, spiritual rest with the Father. He had done so much, and God had him to rest because he wanted to talk to the Father. So he's there. Presumably, this might be you at home. You're laying there, sitting there forever, and you're having your prayer time, and you're interrupted, constantly interrupted. And you just wanted time for the Father. You think, oh, Father, please. That's how Jesus felt at the time. Okay, so they want to be around him this whole time, okay? The boat starts to rock, okay? And they're thinking, oh, this is kind of nice. It's kind of breezy here, but I guess it's kind of nice. It started getting bad. The storm started coming. It started really coming. And they go and they look to their Savior and they go, whoa, what are you doing? Get up. What are you doing? And he went, ye of little faith. They had been with him the whole time. The whole time seeing that he cast out spirits, seeing that he healed, seeing that he preached. Seeing all of this, they saw all of that, but yet they had little faith. They thought, Jesus is going to let us drown. That's just the end of the story. But Jesus just wanted to rest and speak to the Father. Now, what I'm asking you is that you be sure you rest in the Father. I don't mean go home and don't do laundry and don't do dishes. Kim, you will be doing that. That's not what I mean, okay? I mean, you rest in the Father. Crawl up in the Father's lap. Rest on him. let him give you the the motivation, the love, the caring that you need. But you need to rest in the Father. Jesus couldn't wait to talk to his Father. Okay, so what we have here is the Holy Spirit. And in a minute, we're going to do a little exercise. And oh my gosh, it's okay, Jesus is still here. But we need to rest with the Father. You know, we're always constantly, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this. Oh, I got to go here, I got to go here. Oh, I got to go here. All of these distractions we have, finances, family, sickness, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, relationships, everything around us is all but distractions. They're all distractions. And how we can deal with this is we have to focus on God every day. Just because I focus on God today at Sunday doesn't mean I live like hell when I leave here. I'm not saying I've never done that, okay? But that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the Holy Spirit is with us. We're going to do our exercise. So remember, rest with the Father. Don't get pulled off by these distractions. And if you're feeling distractions, how much more do you think our pastor is dealing with? Not to pat him on the back, Lord knows he needs it. But if you're feeling these distractions, if you're feeling these insecurities, if you're feeling, oh my gosh, Jesus isn't around, how much more do you think your pastor feels? Just because he's a pastor doesn't mean he doesn't get those feelings. Now, I doubt that he would think, oh, yeah, Chris, right. You know, I've done plenty of things, and I've gone through plenty of things. I know he has. He takes care of his wife. That right there, I don't care how much you love somebody, how much you care for someone, you get tired. You do. You get tired because you want that person to be well. And Kathy knows this. You pray for them to be healed. And what happens if they're not healed? Does that mean God doesn't love them? No, it doesn't mean that. But do we pray they get healed to the day that God takes them? Of course we do. When David, they were working on him, I prayed, God, please heal him right now. Please, we can't do without him. Please heal him. His answer was no. Why? One day I'll find out. Tim and Mike, David and Wayne and Ruth, we've all had people that have gone on. We all have questions. Why? Why? It doesn't matter because God is in control of everything. Everything. Your dialysis, Anita and Dawn. You know, you taking care of your spouse, Larry, he's in control of that. Leanne taking care of her mother. Cindy watching over her next door neighbor. We all have things in our lives that are distractions. But lasso up the distractions and say, God, I turn these over to you one more time and I'm giving them to you because I know that's what I'm supposed to do. And in everything, God will get the glory. He will get the glory. And that's why we go through things. So God can get the glory. So if God has chosen you to have these struggles, let God get the glory for it. Are you ever going to be healed of dialysis? Probably not, Anita, but God's still getting the glory. He knows exactly where you are. He knows what's going on in your body. Do we still keep praying for healing for your kidneys? Of course we do. Of course we do. Do we keep praying that Linda gets healed? Of course we do. Did we keep praying that Ruth would get healed of dementia and the things she's doing? Of course we did. Am I praying now that God heals my sister? Of course I am every day. But if he doesn't heal her, that's okay because God's in control. You don't have to worry about it. You don't need to be in control. As important as we are to God, trust me, he does not need our opinions. He does not need us Monty Hall making deals with him. He doesn't need that. He's in control. He's powerful. So just remember, rest with the Father. Have intimacy with the Father. know the Father. And like I say, Kim, you're not going to get out of doing laundry and all that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. And, but, you know, we do need rest. We need sleep. A lot of us stay up late at night watching TV, doing things. You need sleep to rejuvenate your body. You need to eat to rejuvenate your body. And Lord knows, ever since I've had my leg thing, that's all I've been doing. Now we're trying to get back on track again. But you know what? God gives us lots of times. He gives us lots of times to get things right. We're on God's track, all of us here. There's a lot of us here today, and I praise God for that. So right now, for this to be a successful, wonderful day, we're just going to welcome the Holy Spirit, but we're going to be quiet so we can hear the Holy Spirit, okay? Everyone bow your eyes. I mean, bow your head and close your eyes. And just let the Holy Spirit loose. Just tell yourself, I'm loosing you, Holy Spirit. We invite you here, Holy Spirit, for you to take over, Holy Spirit. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you that you live in me. Thank you that we can rest in the Father's lap. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Okay, amen. We've got to be quiet sometimes. And if you think that's not hard for me because I yak all the time, we've got to be quiet and still sometimes and see what God wants. That's very important. Make sure that you're doing what God wants you to do. Okay? Because if you're out there doing stuff just because you think that's what God wants you to do, you're going to get burned out. You're going to get tired, which is basically the same thing. But you're going to lose interest, and you're going to get a bad attitude eventually. So make sure you're doing God's work, because God wants you to do things that you're doing. Keep doing the good things, but rest in the Father's lap. His lap's big enough for our big rear ends, trust me. Rest with the Father. Invite the Holy Spirit into your home. Invite the angels to go through your home and take all the demons away. Take all the evil spirits away. Invite the Holy Spirit to be in your car when you drive. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you that we can rest in you, that we can find peace with you. Sweet Jesus, I cannot imagine everything you had to go through just to die for us so that we may have eternal life, so that one day we can see our loved ones. Sweet Jesus, thank you for the blood that you shed. Thank you that you arose on the third day and that we can have you as our personal saviors. We do not have to leave this building not knowing if we're going to heaven or not. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to become your child. Sweet Holy Spirit, thank you that we can listen to you and to learn from you, that you convict us of our righteousness, that we are righteous people. We don't feel it, God, sometimes, but Holy Spirit says, yes, we are righteous. We are righteous. Because when the Father looks down and looks at you and whatever things that you think you've done wrong, all he sees is his son's blood. That's what he sees, and that you're white as snow. So thank you for that, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to work things according to the purpose and plan that you have for my life, because you love me. Thank you that you really, really love me. When I say sometimes, you know, I just don't feel loved. You really, 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 really love me. You love everyone in this room. You created us just like we are. Some of us with soft hearts. Some of us with giving hearts. Some of us with serving hearts. Father, help us to do your will, but please, God, show us what it is that you want us to do. May our wills line up with you. We give this time to you for singing. We give this time to you for our precious, precious pastor. Father, I pray that you would take away any distractions that he might have had during the week. Lord, he worked so hard to take care of his soulmate. Thank you for Linda and all that she does for the church. But Lord, I know there's ups and downs that he must have to go through taking care of her. I know that sometimes he must get tired. I know that sometimes he must think that there's not enough hours in the day to get everything done. But thank you that he is our pastor. Thank you for everything that Kathy does, all of our bills, all of the things that she has to do for us. Thank you for that. I'm not just picking people out, but she's never asked for a dime for that. Thank you, God, for the singing. Thank you that Don picks up the songs and that he brings that to us. Thank you for the church body here, Father, that loves you, that wants to do your will. Thank you that we each have a purpose and a plan, and that we love you. And thank you that you made me just the way I am. Thank you so much. In Jesus' holy name, amen.